Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hello and welcome back to the Alabama 2025 Moments of the Year podcast series on the Out of the Box podcast. It's our yearly tradition. Gray Robertson, Tom Canterbury. Tom, we love doing this because we get to look back, we get to reminisce, we get to hear ourselves and hear the moments and hear the discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Bracket packet talks are always interesting because I'm like, uh-oh, you got that one wrong, buddy.
But numerous times I'm listening, shut up, idiot, no! Talking to myself, not you.
Well, I am saying the same about myself. So, again, 10 years together.
Right.
Today we've got number four, Tom, and let's just reveal it now. Second, third, and seventh innings against Auburn in the SEC tournament.
The only time these two teams played all year. Certainly, probably neither team in a position where they wanted to be in the SEC tournament, playing on day one in the 10-14 matchup or whatever it was. But, you know, I thought both teams played a really good softball game against each other in that situation.
It was a really good game.
Yeah.
This was on 10 of 15 ballots. It got a lot of fifth place votes. It was fifth for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just like had it on their list. A couple folks had it high, but for the most part, it was just a steady presence on the ballot. Big reason why. The rivalry aspect, I assume, you know, the postseason aspect. There were a couple big plays. And as you'll all hear, this was the Salen Hawkins game.
Oh, man.
Defensively, offensively, just sick stuff.
Really kind of gave you like a glimpse. Not that she wasn't productive all year long, and she had some really good plays and really good moments, but a glimpse of, oh, this could be an all-conference All-American type player.
Yeah.
So it certainly makes me very excited to see what Salen Hawkins can become.
The future is bright.
Mm-hmm.
But before we talk about the future at some point on this very feed, it's time to listen to the past.
Yes.
So here we go. The second, third, and seventh innings against Auburn in the SEC tournament. Now. Hey guys, before we play the SEC tournament moment, number four moment of the year for Alabama softball, I want to mention something that happened after Tom and I recorded episodes 5 and 4 for the moments list, and that was our nomination for the Golden Mikes. Now, Alabama hauled. Let me tell you, I mean, the nomination list, by my count, it was the most nominations for any school in the local and radio combined categories, and there is just so much representation that doesn't even include Haley McClenny, who's available to be voted for in multiple categories. So we would very much appreciate your support, and there are a lot of teammates of ours who definitely deserve your support in this. So you can go check it out, d1softball.com/2025GoldenMikeAwards, and give us a vote. I mean, here are the nominations just for everybody. We're nominated for Best Local TV Booth. That includes me, Allie Shipman, Jenna Johnson, Kaylee Tao. I'm nominated for Play-by-Play. Tao is nominated for Analyst. Jenna's nominated for Rookie of the Year. We're both nominated, Tom and I, for Best Team Radio. And Tom is nominated for Best Radio Personality. You've also got Haley in there a couple times for Breakout Star and Best Studio Analyst. So lots of opportunities to support Alabama, to support multiple people you've heard on this show. A lot of our friends have been on this as well. Kinsey, D'Lo, Amanda, Madison Shipman, Michelle Smith, Kevin Brown nominated. So a lot of people we really like. Beth Moens, Kat Osterman, a lot of friends have been on this show. Tori Vidalis as well. And we would love for you to go hop in there and vote for your favorites. And if that includes me and Tom and Kaylee Town, Jen Johnson, and Allie Shipman, then that would be delightful as well. So with that being said, let's get to number four in the top Alabama softball moments from 2025.
The second inning is presented by the Bryant Museum, located on the UA campus just across from Coleman Coliseum. Open every day 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. except Mondays. Access online at bryantmuseum.com. 1-0 Auburn as we head to the top of the second inning. Tresvick, Wohlers, and Lett do up for the Tigers. 5-6-7. It's Shaw Sambrisky in the circle. Neely Peralta with a solo homer in the first, giving the Tigers a 1-0 lead. Comes the first pitch to Tresvick. Just misses for ball one. Tresvick batting 272. 41 of 151, 37 runs scored, four doubles, leads the team with 11 homers and has 33 runs driven in.
One for 11 in the last five. That one was a homer.
Swings and misses there, 1-1.
And it's going to be really important for that ball to move for Brisky, because this is an Auburn team that is first in the SEC in strikeouts. They've got the top three hitters in the SEC who struck out the most. And right at the top of the list, Isis Tresvick with 44.
The 1-1. Line, oh, what a nice backhanded play by Saylen Hawkins. A throw, it's in time. What a play by Saylen Hawkins and a great stretch by Abby Dukesher to get Isis Tresvick, who tried the headfirst slide, and I think Auburn's going to challenge this one. But what a play by Saylen Hawkins.
Gosh, the fact that it's even close, let alone an out on the field, is insane. Insane.
I don't think, are they going to challenge? No, they're not.
All right, I'll take a look at the TV replay. Oh my gosh, Duke.
Now they are going to challenge, yes.
I mean, the stretch is remarkable.
Ruling on the field is out at first base. Auburn is challenging. The play is under review.
But the play by Saylen Hawkins, diving to her right and backhanding it, spun around on her knees and made the throw.
Yeah, she's out.
And Tresvick is not slow.
I mean, I just saw the replay, Tom. She is out. This should be fairly quick.
Wow. And the call on the field is out, so.
That's the play of the year by an Alabama defense person. And I'm including Lojo's catch against Florida. That's one of the best infield plays I've seen in my 9 years. That was incredible.
It was a hard hit ball, too. It was unbelievable that she was able to snag that one.
The ruling on the field is upheld. The runner is out.
There you go.
That's crazy. That's so good. That is so hard, what Saylen Hawkins just pulled off. And she didn't even rifle a throw. She had to wait and double clutch to make sure she had a firm grip. That is so impressive.
So now one out, nobody on for Anna Wohlers. Left-handed hitting third baseman. First pitch, swung on and missed for strike one. Wohlers batting 238, 35 of 147, 32 runs scored, eight doubles, three triples, nine homers, and 31 runs driven in.
Kind of a big boomer bust bat for the Tigers. Has been hitting it better lately.
That's right in there for a strike, 0-2.
0 for 3 all time in her SEC tournament career with three walks and a K. Keep in mind, these are the two teams who both lost the 14-inning marathons in last year's SEC tournament.
The 0-2 misses outside. One ball, two strikes. Thanks for reminding me about that.
I mean, well, we went back home and we were like, oh, we'll watch Auburn, Georgia. And then that ended up being 14 innings, remarkably.
The 1-2. Misses a touch inside. Two balls and two strikes. Alabama in the all-white uniforms, the white jerseys with the crimson Bama across the chest and script. White pants and crimson socks. 2-2. Went too far around on the check swing. They make the call at home plate. And that's the second strikeout of the day for Jocelyn Brisky, and there's two gone for the Tigers here in the second.
Anna Wohlers is the one who's third in strikeouts in the SEC, and who's in second? Well, the player about to step up.
Amelia Leck, the designated player, stepping in. Batting 167 on the year, 18 and 108. Six runs scored, the first pitch right in there for a strike. Three doubles, a triple, two homers, and 15 runs driven in for Leck on the season.
Only two career hits against Alabama. Both, though, last year did leave the yard. Drove in three runs, 250 career average.
The 0-1. Swung on and missed. No balls and two strikes. Auburn in the all dark blue uniforms, dark blue jerseys, outlined in orange with Auburn and script orange across the chest. Blue pants, blue socks with orange stripes. The 0-2. High and away. One ball, two strikes.
And this is such an important inning for Alabama because this has been Auburn's bad inning. Alabama is outscoring opponents by 36 in the second inning. Auburn's being outscored by 27 in the second this year. 52-25 for the opponents.
1-2, swing and a miss. Strike three. Brisky strikes two out and sits down the Tigers in order here in the second behind one of the plays of the year defensively by Saylan Hawkins.
And then how does that not give you confidence if you're a pitcher? Brisky, great pitch sequencing, great location, great movement to get the K's right after. But, man, that Hawkins play. And don't forget Dukeser's part two. Just incredible stuff on the infield for the Tide.
The Tigers three up and three down. We head to the bottom of the second inning. 1-0 Auburn here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. The second inning is presented by the Bryant Museum, located on the UA campus just across from Coleman Coliseum. Open every day, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., except Mondays. Access online at bryantmuseum.com. 1-0 Auburn as we head to the home half of the second. Giles Hawkins and Dukeser due up for Alabama, 5-6-7, as Shea Guerin back out for her second inning of work. Alabama not able to respond in the bottom of the first inning after Auburn took the 1-0 lead in the top of the first, but a great defensive and pitching inning for Alabama in the top of the second. Hopefully we'll spark something for the Crimson Tide offensively, starting with Alabama's hottest hitter, Marley Giles. First pitch from Guerin, off speed, that drops in for a called strike. Giles batting 276 on the year, 29-105, 25 runs scored, 6 doubles, a triple, 5 homers, and 22 runs driven in.
And you said the hottest hitter. Why, Tom? Because in her last 5 games, Marley is hitting 727. That's almost a plane. It might be, actually.
Another changeup again. Called strike, 0-2.
4 RBIs, a homer, a couple doubles. Career against Auburn, 1-for-7. And really hasn't had much of an SEC tournament shot. Came in midway through that LSU game last year after dealing with that injury.
The 0-2 is outside, 1-2. Yes, that was the game, I believe we were told before the game that she was, if she came up to bat, she would only possibly be able to bunt, and instead she had a double.
Second at bat, right. Doubled. Second pitch she saw, she swung away. I was like, oh
okay.
Here we go now.
The 1-2 is high, 2 balls and 2 strikes. Alabama's head coach is Patrick Murphy. He's in the third base coaching box. This 27th season as the Alabama head coach. An Alabama head coaching record, 1,313 victories, 395 losses, a .769 winning percentage for the national champion and Hall of Famer, 6-time SEC tournament champion. As that one misses inside, the count is full, 3 balls and 2 strikes.
Which hall? I'm sorry, SJ went quickly.
Yes, all of them.
Okay, good.
If he's eligible, he's in it.
Cool.
Count now full on Giles.
Got to be worried about that changeup, too. Got to think it's coming on the outer edge after that inside pitch.
And that's lined back up the middle down for a base hit. And Marley Giles continues her hot hitting with a leadoff single here in the second straight inning. The Crimson Tide has had the leadoff man on.
That's just a good softball IQ from Marley. I mean, you got cooked on a changeup the first 2 pitches of the at-bat. Auburn's going to go back to it at some point. Away was working earlier. You're sitting that pitch. Anything else, you're fighting it off. Good piece by Marley, who's now 9 for her last 12.
That brings up Saylan Hawkins. Doesn't square around. It's a called strike on the outside edge. Hawkins batting 314. 37-118, 21 runs scored, 5 doubles, a homer, and 15 runs driven in.
Hitting .462 in her last 5, and 1-for-3 all-time in the SEC tournament. Has never played Auburn.
That one comes in high, 1 ball, 1 strike. Of course, the other tournament appearance was with Mississippi State last season before she transferred in.
She's been just so steady, even since, actually, even more so since the move up in the order.
The 1-1. Hawkins sends this one to right center field. That one's back and off the wall. Rounding third is Giles. She will come in to score without a throw, and that's an RBI double by Salen Hawkins, and the Crimson Tides tied it up at one here in the second inning.
Steady. Just steadiness. Alabama seems very secure in their plan against S.J. Guerin, and Salen Hawkins really attacks that curveball on the outer half from S.J. I believe that was the off-speed curve, too, and it just it leaks over the white, so if that's what you're hunting, that's the pitch to go after. Right between Tresvick and Smith, and Alabama immediately gets on the board in the biggest inning when you're playing Auburn. The second inning is when you have to attack, and that's what the Tide's doing right now.
Extended meeting from both the infielders and the battery. You don't know if it's meeting necessarily with Lisenby because she hand delivers the ball back to the pitcher every pitch.
I'm wondering if Dukeshire's going to lay down a bunt here now. You know, runner on second, nobody out, get that runner to third, see what the plan is.
Abby Dukeshire steps in. Takes the first pitch for a called strike. Dukeshire batting 307, 39 of 127, 27 runs scored, 6 doubles, a triple, 7 homers, and 23 runs driven in.
Quietly hitting a pretty nice 400 in the last 5 games with a couple RBIs.
The 0-1, Duke bloops this to shallow left. That's going to fall for a base hit. Hawkins had to hold up in case the ball was caught. It will get in quickly by McCary, but now runners are on the corners with nobody out here in the second. A single, a double, and a single to start things off in the middle of the order for Alabama.
Well, we talk about plans all the time. Salen Hawkins' plan, I believe, was sitting curve. It certainly looks like Abby Dukeshire's was sitting change. That's the first change she got and was able to just get enough of it right in between Peralta and McCrary. Good base running, too, by Hawkins as well to get to third.
Now Riley Valentine steps in. First pitch to her is popped up in foul ground, first base side, and it will get just out of play on top of the Auburn dugout for strike one. Valentine batting 224, 15 of 67, 12 runs scored with 3 doubles, 2 homers, and 7 RBIs.
Her career against Auburn, 1 for 8, all time in the SEC tournament, 0 for 3.
The 0-1, swing and a miss. No balls and 2 strikes.
And this is, Tom, one of those moments that we talk about all the time. You've tied the game. That's awesome. This is where you can kind of put the foot on the throat a little bit. You know, runners on the corners, nobody out. You've got to get at least one more in this situation, no matter how you do it.
The 0-2 to Valentine. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Valentine down on 3 straight pitches, and there's one gone here in a second.
Yeah, Riley, I don't think Riley was timed up at all that at-bat. She was way out in front, especially on those last 2 swings and misses.
They'll bring up Kristen White. One out, runners on the corners. K-Dub batting 321, 27 of 84, 23 runs scored with 5 RBIs. And Riker Chasen, the Auburn pitching coach, will now make his way out to talk things over with S.J. Guerin. Chance to go back through the Alabama coaching staff and support staff, the assistant coach. In the first base coaching box is Caleb Rowe. The pitching coach is Lance McMahon. Hitting coach Adam Arbor. Coordinator of player development is Ryan Iamurray. Director of softball operations, Jaden Spencer. Athletic trainer is A.C. Atinka. Strength and conditioning coach, Michelle Diltz. Sports information director, the SID extraordinaire, Nathan Sheehan. Video director, Scott Moyer. Equipment manager, Sue Moore. And photographer of the stars is Kent Gidley. For Auburn, their head coaches in their first year, Chris and Kate Malvo, pitching coach Riker Chasen, and assistant coach DJ Sanders.
And we've said all year, we feel like the Malvos are the right people for the Auburn job. They're very, very good. Chris Malvo named to the Team USA Women's National Team pool just yesterday. And Riker Chasen, we know how good he is. It's a staff that actually has a lot of familiarity with Alabama because of the amount of time their various coaches have spent in the SEC.
Kristen White steps in now, infield playing in, runners on the corners, the first pitch, low and inside for ball one. And watching it here in this situation, with Lisenby having to hand deliver each pitch, the ball back to the pitcher, you have to see Adams, the first baseman, come down and cover home.
Yeah.
It's an odd situation.
That'd be bold.
The 1-0. White pops it up on the infield, and it falls. And everyone's going to be safe on the corners, and Dukeshire's going to be out at second on the force out. Just tough luck for Alabama there.
There's nothing you can do if you're Dukeshire, because she actually was bleeding off the bag the right way, and then Guerin just pulled back for some odd reason. Dukeshire was moving back to the bag, but the timing of all of it was wonky, and I would have loved to seen Salen Hawkins maybe dance off third, try and make that weird for Auburn, but either way, unfortunately, an unproductive out.
So now two outs, runners on the corners. First pitch to Vandegrift is just fouled down the first baseline on hit run. For strike one. So that will go down as a fielder's choice. White reaches on the fielder's choice, and the putout is a 5-8 putout, because that was Abby Smith, the center fielder, on second base.
And that's big for her. I mean, way to, you know, make the play, be where you're supposed to be as well. It's a long run.
And he fouls that one away. No balls and two strikes. Audrey singled her first time on a bunt. We're trying to add that extra run. It's tied up at one here in the bottom of the second.
Audrey, this year with runners in scoring position, hitting .421. How about .395 with two outs? A lot of weaponry, but now has to protect down 0-2.
0-2 pitch. Vandegrift fouls it off her foot. It remains no balls and two strikes. We have Hawkins on third, White on first. So good speed, including Vandegrift at the plate. She can get something in the gap or down the lines. Another 0-2, Vandegrift. Ground ball to second. Bobbled momentarily, but the throw is made in time by Roach for out number three to retire the side. So Alabama ties things up here in the second, but can't get anything more, and it's 1-1 as we head to the third.
I'm happy about the run. I'm not happy about it being only one. I will also say Auburn's uniforms match exactly what the umpires were wearing, so initially I thought that was about to get through because I thought that was Bobby DeMeo. It wasn't, and good recovery by Rose Roach. She knew, I bobbled it. I've got to hurry. And now here we go, off to the third.
For the tied in the second, one run on three hits, no errors, and two left. We played two. It's 1-1 between Alabama and Auburn here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
The third inning is presented by Bojangles and the new and improved Bojangles app. Bring the flavor to your tailgate with chicken, biscuits, and fixings by downloading the Bojangles app to order ahead for tailgates. And whenever it's bow time, it's not a tailgate without Bojangles. 1-1 as we head to the third inning. 8-9-1 due up for the Tigers. And for the third inning, I'll turn things over to my partner, Gray Robertson.
Thanks, Tom. Aubrey Lisenby will start things off for the 15 seed. And the first pitch from Brisky is a little low for ball one. Lisenby this season hitting .241, 14-58, three RBIs, a double, six runs. All-time 1-for-8 against Alabama. The 1-0 from Brisky is hit fair down the third baseline. Vandegrift will stop it. Lisenby was thinking about two, but she'll head back to first. And a leadoff base runner for the Tigers here in the top of the third.
Really nice play there by Vandegrift to cut that one off and hold Lisenby to just a single, because that was hit down that third base left field line, where a lot of times that does equal extra bases. Now Brisky will have to work around the leadoff single.
See if Roach decides to lay something down. So Auburn brings in a pinch runner. That is Georgia Lessman, a sophomore. And Rose Roach, the nine hole, hitting .222 on the season. 26 of 117. 18 RBIs, 4 homers, a triple, 4 doubles, 22 runs scored for Roach. Sitting .455 in the last 5. 111 all time against the Tide. Again, got to think this is a sacrifice situation. First pitch from Brisky. Roach was swinging away and takes it low for ball one.
Field is playing in, still expecting the bunt.
Brisky is ready, the 1-0. That curved in just a bit too far, 2-0.
With the win today, Alabama would advance in the SEC tournament, take on the 7-seed South Carolina Gamecocks tomorrow.
Again?
Yes, just saw them.
Like this week.
A lot.
The 2-0. That's a strike. 2-1.
Airtime would be 6:15 here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. For the loss, Bama would head home and await Sunday's selection show to see their fate in the NCAA tournament.
And we will get to the bracketology portion of the show a little bit later on. First, the 2-1 from Brisky to Rose Roach. High and tight, 3-1. Runner on first, nobody out, top of the third. Tie game. Alabama-Auburn, even at 1. Now the 3-1, that's a strike, full count. Certainly cannot walk the nine hole in this situation.
No.
So you just got to go after her. Let the defense that's played so well already have your back. Payoff from Brisky to Rose Roach. Popped up, straight up the chute. Giles makes the catch. Right up against the fence, and it's a massive, unproductive first out here in the third.
Wow. And any catcher will tell you that is the toughest play to make.
Back to the top of the order for the Auburn.
Right there up against the backstop. Somehow didn't touch it. Marley Giles gets a big first out.
Works for me. Back to the top of the order with Abby Smith, FGCL. First pitch, slapped foul. She struck out in the first, did Smith.
Elsewhere today here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, Bama Baseball is at Troy for a midweek matchup with the Trojans. That's coming up at the top of the hour.
Still doing midweeks?
Yeah.
Season almost over for baseball.
I believe this is the last one.
The 0-1 is a called strike on the outer half, 0-2. SEC tournament for the men, not too far away over in Hoover. Literally and figuratively, not that far away.
Yeah.
0-2 now from Brisky. Oh, what a scoop by Giles. The throw down to second to the running. Lessman will get her. On a ball in the dirt, Lessman took off, I think, thinking it got away, and there's two down here in the top of the third.
Like you said, what a snag by Marley Giles to keep that from going to the backstop. And you're right. I think Lessman thought that it got past her.
Now a 1-2 count on Abby Smith. This could all work out great. And with Mrs. Lowe, 2-2. Because if Lessman, let's say you just get Smith out, you'd still have a base runner on with two gone for Peralta, but now you can kind of strangely face the minimum. 2-2. Cold throw. No, just kidding. Got fooled. Full count. I don't know who yelled. I thought it was Marty. It wasn't. 3-2.
Marley thought that she called that Marty called it as well.
Somebody said something. Now the payoff to Abby Smith. Swing and a miss. No confusion there. How about Jocelyn Brisky's fourth strikeout, and in an absurd turn of events, she faces the minimum in the top of the third.
May have struck out Smith twice, because I don't know where that last one missed either, but what a good job getting around that leadoff single by Brisky in this defense.
Momentum with the Tide. We go to the bottom of the third. Alabama 1, Auburn 1 here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. The third inning is presented by Bojangles and the new and improved Bojangles app. Bring the flavor to your tailgate with chicken, biscuits, and fixings by downloading the Bojangles app to order ahead for tailgates and whenever it's bow time. Tom, when is that?
It could be any time.
Could be now.
Sure.
It's not a tailgate without Bojangles. Tied up at 1.
I need some chicken right about now.
Same. I'm quite hungry. And I took my meds. 1-1. Bottom of the third. 2-3-4 due up for the tie. Johnson, Hevlin, Elistad. S.J. Guerin back out to work in the circle. And here's the first true look at Lauren Johnson. She laid down a bunt in the first. Beautifully placed down the first baseline. And now Lisenby very quickly and abruptly called time and is running into the dugout to get something.
Crimson Tide Sports Network coverage continues with Crimson Drive Thursday afternoons on all Crimson Tide Sports Network social media outlets. Crimson Drive is live each Thursday at 2 p.m. Central Time, so be sure to join host Roger Hoover for the latest on Alabama athletics.
All set to go. Lisenby's back. She has re-entered as well. First pitch, a curve in. Misses for ball one on Lojo. What a way to wrap up a busy-ish day one of the SEC tournament. Busy, but not necessarily lengthy so far. 1-0. Lojo waits on the change. That's out to center field for a leadoff single. And Alabama is executing that plan to perfection. Another leadoff batter aboard for the Crimson Tide. How about 3-for-3 in that category?
But Alabama's got to capitalize on it here. You have the momentum. Take the lead.
Callie Hevlin popped out on the first pitch she saw back in the first. First pitch, pull back the bunt. It missed inside for ball one, which meant you didn't get to read Callie's line.
Correct.
She's having a career year, .377 batting average entering today, 41 RBIs, strong all-SEC possibilities, and perhaps more down the line.
Leads the team with the 13-round drippers. Number 14 would be great right here.
The 1-0. It was a bunt that she pulled back, 2-0.
Unless she bunts, either way.
Or just walks, apparently. It's also an option. Callie, by the way, entered this game hitting .385 all-time at the SEC tournament and .444 all-time against Auburn with a home run. 2-0 from Guerin. That curls in for a strike, 2-1.
She is second on the team in walks, only behind Audrey Vandegrift, who has 33 on the season. Callie has 24.
One to one, your score. Runner at first. Hevlin at the plate. The 2-1 from S.J. Guerin is high. 3-1.
Great. It's time for a scoreboard update.
Ooh.
Brought to you by the Out of the Box Podcast. Check out the latest episode of the Out of the Box Podcast, part of the Softball America Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a follow at @OutOfTheBox_pod on the X. Like, subscribe, and share.
Our two bosses are here, Tara Henry and Jim McIntyre.
Oh,
both
wow.
In the house. Jim just left the dog out, but Tara's still here.
Okay.
It was a brief chat, and now Garen's ready for the 3-1 against Callie Hevlin. That's in there for a strike, full count.
Hopefully they enjoyed the mini podcast we did this week.
Well, the first thing Jen said to me was, I loved when you went to Olive Garden. I was like, man, this is a real thing that happened. Did a pod from an Olive Garden. Payoff coming to Callie Hevlin. That is smoked out to right center. That'll get all the way to the wall. Lauren Johnson races around third. Callie's given Alabama the lead. She's heading for third base. She's safe. RBI triple here in the third inning, and it's 2-1 Crimson Tide.
Woo.
Callie hesitated for just a second, rounding second. Made that extremely close at third, but the triple gives the Crimson Tide the lead. And that is Callie's fourth triple of the season.
She entered in fourth in the conference in triples, so I'm guessing she's a little bit higher now. And Brooke Elistad steps in. She grounded out. Classic 3-4-3 ground out in the first inning.
Of course.
First pitch from Guerin. Elistad pops that up on the right side. That'll get into the camera well. 0-1. So scoreboard updates, really it's basically like the SEC and the SWAC today. We won't go through all the SWAC games, but we will tell you what's happened here in Athens, and it's been a day of shutouts so far. Georgia run ruled Kentucky 8-0, so Kentucky waits They will make the NCAA tournament, but probably as a three.
If there are a bunch of bid sealers, Kentucky will need to sweat it out.
0-1 to Elistad, change up, fouled off, 0-2. Georgia will be a two somewhere, and that win hopefully gets them back into the RPI top 25, which would add a bunch of wins for a lot of teams in the conference in that key metric. Also, Ole Miss 1-0 over Missouri. The season ends today for the Tigers. Ole Miss will play Florida tomorrow. Georgia gets Arkansas tomorrow. 0-2, chopped to first. Nice little scoop by Adams. And the tag is applied for the first out.
Love to get Brooke going here a little bit more.
Yeah.
But somebody who's definitely going is Marley Giles.
No issues with Marley. Singled and scored in the second. First pitch. Ooh. Jammed foul. 0-1. So do you want to do bracket packet right now?
We can.
All right. Right now I've got Alabama slotted as the 13 national seed. A win today would really, really help. Auburn's RPI is very, very strong, well inside the top 25. 0-1, change low to Giles, 1-1. Runner on third, one out. Alabama leads Auburn 2-1 here in the bottom of the third. The super opponent I have would be Arkansas, the four seed. I'm going to be in Fayetteville.
The newest number one team in the country.
That's right. 1-1, change low, 2-1. And I think it's very important to say, Alabama is safe. They're going to host a regional, barring real runs in conference tournaments from Virginia Tech, Oregon, and Texas Tech, maybe even Stanford.
Yeah.
But you don't want to lose tonight, not because it hurts your profile, but because it just takes you out of the committee's mind really early. Yeah. I mean, it's Tuesday. We've got a long time until Sunday as Riker Chasen comes out to chat with Garen.
Auburn was like, the first two games of this tournament have gone way too fast. We're going to slow this one down.
And just to mention this as well, Auburn's got some stakes too. Now, I don't think they have a real chance to host, but if Auburn were to say, get to the semis or championship game, that they would rack up some of the wins they need to be in the conversation. So Auburn is safely in as well. And who knows, maybe if they were to go on a run, maybe they could sneak in. I certainly hope that doesn't happen.
Correct. Yes.
A lot at stake here in this game, even in the 10-15. And that's how good this SEC season has been for so many teams.
Very rare for a team that finished 500 in the league to be playing on day one.
Oh, yeah. After the break, the 2-1 to Marley is high, 3-1. One out, 2-1, Alabama over Auburn here in the bottom of the third.
This in-between pitches is just fascinating to me for Auburn defense.
It's a lot of work for Adams. Alabama's had a runner on third a lot in this game already. 3-1 to Giles. Change outside, ball four. Marley reaches her 13th walk of the year, and amazingly, her first during this hot streak. And runners on the corners again for Alabama with one out.
Yeah, here is where, you know, it is the middle to bottom half of the order, but they have been the most productive for Alabama here in the last week or two. You got to put up a crooked number if at all possible.
So, and Hawkins already has an RBI. That was an RBI double in the second inning. First pitch high, ball one.
And Garen just has lost the strike zone completely here.
I mean, some of these are close.
They're close.
But in the SEC, and I think Marty's got one of the better strike zones around, but if it's merely close, you're not going to get it. The 1-0. High and away, 2-0.
Yeah, so once again, the path for the winner of this game would be South Carolina. And South Carolina is a very good team. We just saw them. Mm-hmm. And Auburn just saw them as well and actually won the series against the Gamecocks. But then you'd have the winner of that one has A&M, the two seed, in the quarterfinals.
2-0 called strike, 2-1.
So nothing is easy in the conference, obviously, but, I mean, it's doable.
It of all the paths that teams on Tuesday have, I like Alabama's matchup-wise.
Right.
2-1. That's a called strike. 2-2. Boy, Marley's playing games over at first. She races back.
Yeah, because, say, you know, Ole Miss now has Florida, and if they were to win that one, they'd have Texas.
That's not great.
That is a rough line. Georgia has Arkansas and then Tennessee.
2-2. Saylan Hawkins to left. Way up in the air. It's not going to get out of here, but it's certainly deep enough to score Callie Hevlin. Sack fly will do the job. 3-1 Crimson Tide with two gone here in the bottom of the third.
If that one had a little bit of wind help, it could have possibly gotten out of here, but it's a very still day. But got what you had to do. Get that extra run, crooked number, and now the Crimson Tide be playing from ahead.
With Abby Dukeshire at the plate, she singled her first time up. She'll take the change for a strike. I think that was actually the off-speed curve. Either way, 0-1. The 0-1 is hit towards short. Gloved well by Peralta. The flip to second is in time for out number three. But, Tom, the Tide is on top. Two runs in the inning, and it's 3-1.
Yeah, got the first two runners on, and both of them scored here in the third. So, good job by the Crimson Tide to grab the lead, grab the momentum. And they've outplayed Auburn so far, but they got to keep the Tigers where they are.
See if they can do that when we go to the fourth. Alabama 3, Auburn 1 here at the SEC Tournament on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Three-two Alabama as we head to the top of the seventh inning and the last chance for Auburn. It's going to be 6-7-8 due up for the Tigers. Wollersleck and Lisenby against Jocelyn Brisky looking to go complete here for the Crimson Tide in the opening round of the SEC Tournament. One change for Alabama out in the field. Larissa Pruitt enters the game and is your new right fielder.
Yeah, Patrick Murphy talks all the time about how strong Pruitt's arm is. We've seen that a good bit this year. So as good as Lauren Johnson is, you got the stronger arm of Pruitt out there just in case you need it.
And Waller steps in, and here comes the first pitch. Popped up foul. And, oh.
Mr. Hevlin.
Oh. Had it, wasn't able to pull it down. Getting booed by the other Alabama parents.
Mrs. Hevlin just said something to me. I'm not sure what it was. Probably not a compliment.
No. The 0-1 right in there for a strike. 0-2 on Wollers, who's 0-2 on the day with a strikeout and a ground out.
So 2 needs to be way outside the zone.
The 0-2 pitch. Nope, it's right there for a called strike 3. Wollers sat down on three straight pitches for out number one.
Or how about a little curve that kind of backdoors right in? It certainly looked like it was going to be way outside the zone, but then it just leaked right back over the plate. Great pitch location.
Now one out for Amelia Leck. 0-2 on the day, first pitch. Swung on and missed. 4-1. Leck struck out in the second and then grounded into one of the best plays I've ever seen.
Right up there with the other one of the best plays we've ever seen.
Both in this game.
By the same player.
The 0-1 is low. 1-1 is a high chopper that Brisky deflected off her glove, and Saylan Hawkins made a just spectacular barehanded play to make the stop in the throw and get the out.
And so huge because the next two batters reached in that inning as well.
1-1, grounded foul. 1-2.
The Alabama defense has taken away multiple runs from Auburn. The Auburn defense has done the same.
Yep.
But
it's been a really well-played game defensively, yeah. Like you said. Brisky looks in. The 1-2 is high. 2-2. Winner plays South Carolina tomorrow. The 2-2. Oh, she went too far around on the check swing and one in the dirt. They'll throw down to first to get the out. Back-to-back strikeouts by Brisky will bring up the last chance for Auburn.
Just a filthy drop ball in the dirt. Again, you're taking on two of the top three batters in the SEC in strikeouts, and you get them both. Really nicely done.
So now two out, nobody on for the catcher, Aubrey Lisenby. She's reached twice today. First pitch. Right in there for a called strike. Lisenby singled back in the third and walked in the fifth.
That walk was a really good at-bat by Lisenby, too.
The 0-1. Ground ball. That's going to get through for a base hit. Pass to diving Elistad and Hawkins. And Auburn gets the tying run on and will bring the go-ahead run to the plate here in the seventh.
Yeah, change up from Brisky. And this is not square, but this is a textbook example of just finding the spot for Aubrey Lisenby. When it's your day, it's your day. And just somehow found the 2 feet or so between Elistad and Hawkins.
Rose Roach now to the plate. First pitch. Swung on and missed. For strike one, Roach, one for two. A foul out in the third and a single in the fifth. The 0-1 in the dirt. Locked up nicely by Giles, 1-1.
But even if that had squared away farther, there is no way Lisenby was taken off there.
Nope. The 1-1. Popped up, and that's going to get on top of the press box. And once again, Auburn is down to their final strike. Home plate umpire, Myrie Abazition, has to go get some more softballs.
Strong Alabama contingent making noise, as you'd expect.
Many more Alabama fans than Auburn fans here.
This probably needs to be something away.
Here comes the 1-2. Low, two balls, two strikes.
I'm good with that. Drop ball. Not even particularly tasty. Just see if you get a chase.
Now the 2-2. Grounded foul. Roach got a piece to stay alive. Two balls, two strikes.
Well, remember how the Rose Roach single in the fifth started? That was a 1-2 count, then a couple foul balls, and then she got something over the white through the 3-4 hole.
Another 2-2. Popped up towards us. Oh, my goodness. That was coming our way. Do it again, two balls and two strikes.
I was ready. I mean, I wasn't. I don't have a glove, but I was emotionally ready. By the way, that guy's not getting the ball back if one comes up in here.
No.
I don't know where it went, sir.
Yeah. It's my usual answer for things. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We've worked together for almost a decade.
Here comes another 2-2 to Rose Roach. Another foul ball. And Abby Smith just could not get away from that ball. It kept hitting her in the on-deck circle. She's okay. We'll do it again. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Runner on first. Alabama leads at 3-2. Trying to get this final out of the seventh inning. In advance in the SEC tournament. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Brisky goes complete. And the Crimson Tide advance here in the SEC tournament.
This is a really well-played game all the way around, but Jocelyn Brisky showed some of her gutsiest stuff in the latter stages. Danger, danger in the sixth. Two on, nobody out. Only gave up the one run on a sac fly. Seventh inning against two power hitters, couple strikeouts, and then against a hitter who was following the same formula that led to a hit earlier, able to get a strikeout as well. Really, really well-played ball game. Auburn is played well, but Alabama just got the the hits early and got the pitching late to get this win. And don't forget as well, maybe the biggest MVP of all, the Alabama defense that was right there behind Brisky the entire way.
With the win, Alabama advances to tomorrow's second round of the SEC tournament. They'll take on the number 10 seed South Carolina in the fourth game of the day. Auburn will now head home and await their fate on Selection Sunday. With the win, Alabama improves to 37-20 overall. Auburn falls to 32-22. Jocelyn Brisky, a complete game victory.
Huge.
S.J. Guerin, a complete game loss. Brisky now 16-11 on the year. Guerin 20-10. 3 runs on 8 hits, no errors, 5 left for the Tide. 2 runs on 6 hits, no errors, and 4 left for the Tigers. We'll take a timeout, come back with the Alabama softball postgame report right after this. Alabama wins 3-2 here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Line, oh, what a nice backhanded play by Salen Hawkins. A throw, it's in time. What a play by Salen Hawkins and a great stretch by Abby Dukeshire to get Isis Trezvik, who tried the headfirst slide. And I think Auburn is going to challenge this one. The 1-1. Hawkins sends this one to right center field. That one's back and off the wall. Rounding third is Giles. She will come in to score without a throw, and that's an RBI double by Salen Hawkins, and the Crimson Tides tied it up at 1 here in the second inning.
Payoff coming to Callie Hevlin. That is smoked out to right center. That'll get all the way to the wall. Lauren Johnson races around third. Callie's given Alabama the lead. She's heading for third base. She's safe. RBI triple here in the third inning, and it's 2-1 Crimson Tide. 2-2. Salen Hawkins to left, way up in the air. It's not going to get out of here, but it's certainly deep enough to score Callie Hevlin. Sack fly will do the job. 3-1 Crimson Tide with 2 gone here in the bottom of the third.
First pitch. 1 hopper, and that's off of Brisky's glove to short. A barehanded play by Salen Hawkins.
Stop.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop it.
The defense of Salen Hawkins, a huge story here today, and it helps Alabama claim a 3-2 victory over Auburn to advance in the SEC tournament.
I mean, what? That was 5 clips, and 4 of them were Salen Hawkins making plays. You know, the RBI double, the sack fly, 2 plays on the infield. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your team MVP today, Salen Hawkins, and I sure hope that our friends at the SEC Network have invited her and Jocelyn Brisky up to the set, because that was the best game of the year from Salen, and on the biggest stage you've played in as of today, this season.
Yeah.
Just nails stuff. So good.
The Alabama softball postgame report brought to you by Barclay GMC, the best place to buy a vehicle in Tuscaloosa and proud sponsors of the Crimson Tide. Visit BarclayGMC.com today. Barclay makes it easy. Alabama advancing in the SEC tournament only twice in program history as Alabama played in the tournament and not got at least one victory. So one of those was last year, and Alabama returns to the win column, and they'll head to the second round. They'll take on South Carolina tomorrow. 6:15 will be the tentative airtime for that matchup between the Tide and the Gamecocks. As you mentioned, not only is it going to be the fourth game of the day, tomorrow is the worst as far as weather forecasts go for the Athens area, which is crazy. As I look right now, it is just a gorgeous evening here in Athens, but that weather front is coming through. So we'll see about tomorrow, but the plan is 6:15 with the airtime for Alabama and South Carolina tomorrow, and that's because the Crimson Tide gets the 1-run victory over Auburn, and these were two teams, Gray, you were figuring it up, that have both faced 1-run games all year long.
Yeah, Alabama entered this contest with 9 1-run losses. Auburn entered with 6, and a lot of those for the Tigers came in conference play. So it just kind of felt like it was going to be up to somebody just making the clutch hit or the clutch pitch, and it was Alabama who kind of got a little bit of both. Salen Hawkins was great. Callie Hevlin was great, but I really thought the plan was pretty excellent. Like, Alabama just scored 3 runs but hit really well today. I thought the ABs were really good. There was a little bit of kind of bad luck stringing some things together, some good defensive plays made by Auburn as well.
Yeah.
But all in all, this was a pretty well-rounded effort by the Crimson Tide and a really good way to start off the SEC tournament. Also, because of the early start time, you wrap it up in a conventional you know, 2 hours and 52 minutes, but you're finishing a lot earlier than I think a lot of people anticipated when this day started, so you get even a little bit more rest. That was
should,
it just 152?
That should be 152.
Okay, I was about to say, yeah. I don't think I've been here that long.
No.
But under, all right, great, even better, under 2 hours.
Right.
You know, we were worried about this game starting at 7 local time, and who knows when that could end. So get right. that little bit of extra rest before a rematch with South Carolina that we will preview before this sure. postgame show is over.
And like we talked about during the game, we talked about on the Outbox podcast how important it was for Alabama in this win today to get a complete game from the starting pitcher. Justin Briskey goes complete. Now Caitlin Riley, who I assume will be the starter in tomorrow's game, didn't have to pitch anything today and will be as fresh as you possibly can be in this situation against the Gamecocks tomorrow.
Yeah, and again, that's so huge because of how good Caitlin Riley was against South Carolina in that second game outside of the first inning home run. So
yeah.
you feel pretty good. You also do kind of, you know, show South Carolina your plan. So if you're Alabama, you got to make sure that your plan, how you're going to attack the Gamecock hitters, is really, really airtight. But, yeah, and you also didn't see any of the bullpen, so they're all fresh as daisies as well, which is certainly a good thing. In the postseason, as much rest as you can get, as much time between appearances as you can find, that's always a win.
Here are the final stats from today's ball game in the Iron Bowl of softball. Alabama with a 3-2 win over Auburn. We'll start with the Tigers, who fall to 32-22 and are eliminated from the SEC tournament. Got one run in the first and one in the sixth for their two runs on six hits, no errors, and four runners left on base. Abby Smith was 0-for-3. Nelia Peralta, 2-for-2 with a walk and RBI and two runs scored, had the solo homer in the first inning. Analia Adams was 1-for-2 with a walk. K.K. McCrary was 0-for-3. Isis Trezvik, 0-for-2 with an RBI. Anna Wohlers was 0-for-3. Amelia Leck was 0-for-3. Aubrey Lisenby was 2-for-2 with a walk. And Rose Roach was 1-for-3. In the circle, S.J. Guerin goes complete and takes a loss. She's now 20-10 on the year. Six innings, eight hits, three runs, all earned, one walk, and one strikeout. She threw 80 pitches and 56 strikes in this game.
I thought SJ threw really well as the game went on and, again, got a little bit of help from her defense. If I'm Auburn, you know, we really wondered about them coming in because the metrics love them, and they went to Clearwater and went 6-0, and, you know, we're rolling into conference play, and then they started 0-12 in the SEC, finished with that series win against South Carolina that was so huge.
Yeah.
Watching today, I kind of see Auburn as a bit of a dangerous two seed. I think that there's potential, depending on where they go, that they could make some noise, specifically if it's Clemson. If they go to Clemson, I think Auburn, who's already beaten Clemson this year,
true,
could really make a bit of noise in that regional. I don't think that'll happen if they go to Florida State, but if they go to Clemson, that's an Auburn squad. If SJ's pitching as well as she did after the third inning, they can maybe make a little bit of a run in year one for the Malvos.
For Alabama, they improved to 37-20 with a victory. They advance in the SEC tournament. They'll take on South Carolina tomorrow in the 10-7 matchup. Alabama got one run in the second and two in the third. Therefore, their three runs on eight hits, no errors, five left. Audrey Vandergriff was 2-for-3 on the day. Lauren Johnson, 1-for-2 with a run scored. Callie Hevlin, 1-for-3 with an RBI and a run scored. Brooke Elstad was 0-for-3. Marley Giles was 1-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. Saylan Hawkins, 1-for-2 with two RBIs. Abby Dukeshire was 2-for-3. Riley Valentine, 0-for-2. Kendall Clark was 0-for-1. And Kristen White was 0-for-2. In the circle, Jocelyn Briskey, a complete game victory. She's now 16-11 on the year. Seven innings, six hits, two runs, both earned, three walks, and eight strikeouts. 107 pitches and 65 strikes. Time of the game, 1 hour and 52 minutes, 2,233. The attendance here at Jack Turner Stadium in Athens as Alabama beats Auburn 3-2. And, Gray, one thing we talked about after the crazy, disappointing day on Saturday was, well, one thing's for sure for Alabama, they can't have the top of the order not reach base, which was the issue against South Carolina. Top of the order reached base today for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, Vandergriff was great, minus the one little base running snafu. Lojo was awesome. Callie Hevlin, for the most part, really, really strong today. Marley's kept it up. Love what Saylan Hawkins is doing all over the place. And again, oh so quietly, Abby Dukeshire is out here hitting was 6 for 13, 462 in the last six games. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if we see a move. You know, maybe you move Giles and Hawkins up and have Elistad in the sixth spot, or maybe have Brooke in the seven hole or something.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. Maybe even in the nine spot, because you do need a little bit more from the bottom of the order than you got today. But all in all, it's the balance for me. It's the adjustments. It's the way that they came in with a secure plan. Each hitter did what they were hunting, and then to have the defense and the pitching do what it did was really, really significant.
Keep up with everything Alabama with the Alabama Crimson Tide mobile app presented by Cadence Bank. Download it now for free at the App Store and Google Play. So now we look forward to tomorrow. It's the first four-game day on the schedule in the second round of the SEC tournament, starting things off 8-9 game, Mississippi State and LSU. Then it'll be Arkansas and Georgia in the 5-12. The 6-11 is Florida and Ole Miss, and they'll wrap things up with the 7-10 matchup. Is on day number one, all the home teams, all the higher-seeded teams advanced as the Crimson Tide will take on South Carolina. And, Gray, we just saw the Gamecocks last weekend. Again, it was a weird series because of the weather suspensions, and game number three ended early because of weather as well, so Alabama didn't get their full seven innings to try to make a comeback against the Gamecocks in game number three. But there's a possibility, like we talked about, there's a possibility to weather tomorrow. It's going to be a long day, and Alabama, one of the main issues for the Crimson Tide this year is when it gets weird, Alabama has not adjusted very well to it. So another chance tomorrow to work on that and come out on the other side.
And frankly, the thing that should help you get through that is the opponent. You should want to get back at South Carolina. You run ruled them in game one, and then things kind of just didn't happen. After that, you should want the chance. We always wonder, you know, advantage to the team who's been resting or advantage to the team who just played a game. Alabama had a lot of people kind of get right today, even in a game you only won by one against the 15 seed. And, you know, Gray's final thought will be about the stakes and what today's win means. But you should be excited about the fact that you get another crack at South Carolina. You get another crack at that team that took a series from you when you outscored them cumulatively.
Yeah.
And that should be really exciting for these players. The thing is, you got to make sure that you don't let that kind of take control of the mindset, because frankly, you don't know when you're playing. And I would honestly be a little bit surprised if we go at the current time slotted.
Yeah.
You know, even if it were a perfect weather day, that'd be hard to do, but just the way the radar looks, TBD. So Alabama's got to come in with the right mindset. That's going to tell us everything. And they'll have the chance to strike first tomorrow, like Auburn did today, because they'll be the away team.
So, yeah, that's what I say. You look at it last weekend, we talked about it on the podcast, we talked about it on the broadcast, that even though you lost the series at South Carolina, there were, in many ways, you kind of left thinking you were the better team.
Yeah.
But South Carolina got the wins. So you have that opportunity to kind of show that tomorrow. And, you know, someone is going to make the run. Someone who is not a top four seed in this tournament.
Happens every year.
Is going to be in the semifinals. Why not Alabama in this situation?
I agree. I mean, I really think that the matchups favor the Tide compared to some of the other ones that are around here. I mean, LSU feels like a team that I could see make a run, and then I look at the next opponent, which is Oklahoma, and it's like, well,
yeah.
Okay. So I think if you're Alabama, you just got to take it a pitch at a time and understand how big what you did today was. You beat Auburn, and again, we'll talk about the bracketing stakes in a minute, but the way you did it, you made adjustments, you stuck to your plan, you got to their ace, and then you closed it out. You finished.
Yeah.
That's been an issue. And that was not something that really came into play today, because Brisky was nails, the defense was nails, and you did enough to outscore a very, very feisty Auburn Tiger squad.
So, Gray, your final thoughts before we wrap things up and get ready for the second round tomorrow.
Gray's final thought, let me bring out the bracket packet.
Back with the packet.
Okay, so we talked earlier today about the importance of Georgia beating Kentucky. Everyone in the SEC who's played Georgia, because they didn't win a series, wants for the Dogs to get back into the top 25 of the RPI. I'm not sure if they're there. We'll see what the math cranks out later tonight or tomorrow morning. Alabama, though, had an opportunity today against Auburn to get a good win. I know what Auburn's record is. I know what their conference standing is. I know what their seed is. Auburn entered this game 16th in the RPI.
That just shows you how deep this conference is, by the way.
Yes.
That the team with the final seed, the last seeded teams in this tournament, is a top 20 RPI team.
And I don't care what happens elsewhere. Even an Auburn loss today, they are not dropping out of the RPI top 25. The math just won't have it. So that gets Alabama up to that magic number 10. You want to get to the double-digit top 25 wins. That can help your seeding. Again, I think Alabama's locked in as a regional host, but they can go pretty high depending on what happens around the country and what they do here in Athens. So that win, so, so big. And it also sets up an opportunity tomorrow to add a little bit more. South Carolina, really, really good squad, really, really good RPI squad. And you got one at their place. That was one big top 10 win. Well, they're sitting at number 9. So you've got another chance at a top 25 win, top 10 win. That's the kind of stuff that moves you from the 13-14 range to the 10-11-12 range. And we know the committee cares about conference tournaments. So, you know, I understand Auburn's seeding. I understand the record. I understand all that. Alabama significantly helped their seeding today. And it was really, really important that that happened. Brisky, Hawkins, Hevelin, a lot of people on that field made sure it did here in Athens. And now we go prep for South Carolina again, less than a week since we did just that.
That's going to do it for this broadcast and the Bama Softball Postgame Report. The Vice President and General Manager of the Crimson Tide Sports Network is Jim Carabin. Our studio engineer has been Brian Freeman. For Gray Robertson and everyone here at the Crimson Tide Sports Network, I'm Tom Canterbury saying thank you for joining us as Alabama gets the 3-2 win over Auburn to advance in the SEC tournament. Tune in again tomorrow as Alabama continues play here in Athens, taking on South Carolina in the second round. Airtime is 6:15 here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Until then, Roll Tide from Athens.
What a time. Strike up the band. Hey, Tigers.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Great game. Callie Hevelin, big RBI triple, which we love.
Sure.
But for the most part, as we kind of talked about in postgame that all of you heard, this was the Salen Hawkins game. This was the Jocelyn Brisky game. Brisky went complete, threw very well. Salen Hawkins had the one defensive play that all of you heard, another that you heard in the clips going into postgame, and then she drove in two of the three runs. Like,
yeah,
MVP of the night, Salen Hawkins.
For sure. If you're looking at how it's set up for the tournament itself, it actually put Alabama in a very good position for the next game because, like you said, Brisky goes complete. You had that situation. Fortunately, South Carolina had a really good game against Sam Gress, decided to go Sam Gress on Alabama. Yeah. And, you know, it was what it was. But very, very well-played game all the way around.
And Auburn played very well that game, too.
Yeah, and Alabama just made a couple more plays. I was very, very happy with if you're only going to play Auburn once, got to beat them. And Alabama did that.
Yeah, it was a good time. I love Athens.
Oh, man.
Had a great time. We were done, like, the night was young. I think we, like, got home to the Airbnb at, like, 8:45.
Was that sliced pizza night?
It was.
Okay, yeah. I remember the food, so you got to put it in.
Look, I've never asked you to change.
Be
yourself.
Yes.
Be you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Into the future home of Gray Robertson, Brazelton, Georgia.
I will be sending my mail to that Airbnb very soon. Get out of this old crap hole and go move to Brazelton. Walk.
Sure.
Get some crab dip
every
other night. Get burgers.
You'll walk in. Gray!
Yeah, I'm going to go full Norm.
Instead of beer, it'll be crab dip.
Yes. It's my dream. We did the thing again. We've gone off the rails.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Where can the people find you on the X or Twitter?
T Canterbury RTR.
Yes. I'm still at Gray_Robertson. Mm-hmm. Amazing. It hasn't changed.
Except that
the decade.
Except that one time Twitter was like, maybe this account is suspended.
Oh my gosh. Oh, do you know what happened? Another tangent before we go.
Oh, yes.
So I posted, I'm back on TikTok, by the way, y'all. I've posted some things. And one of them was for my grandmother. It was her birthday, or would have been her birthday. She would have turned 87. And I posted the home run call from the Samford game and then a couple pictures. One of them included my Woodbury tie.
You know, went to high school in Virginia. Woodbury's colors, Tom, are orange and black. Orange and black.
But in certain lighting, it looks orange and dark blue.
I don't need you backing up this moron. I'm about to show that. So sit down.
Sorry.
So a guy who has gone after me and P-Tech on Twitter before finds me on The Talk.
Who goes after P-Tech? What did she do?
I believe he called her overrated, which, like,
she's a fan.
Is she rated? I don't even understand what that means.
There's still rankings.
So he comments, I deleted it because I was like, I replied and then I was like, no, I'm just going
to
get rid of all this. Okay. So his response was, why would they hire an Auburn guy to call Alabama sports? Now, just a little bit extra background here. The picture of me in my Woodbury tie, that's one of 10 pictures. Seven of the other ones, I am wearing Alabama clothes and or at an Alabama athletic event.
Right.
With my grandmother.
Sure.
Who is an Aggie fan, as we've covered. So that was fun. And then he commented on another one and said, this is an Auburn guy. And I deleted that one too. Because I was not going to deal.
Yeah. Also, no. You went to Alabama.
It's the degree. It's right there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
It's there.
Honors.
Yeah, thank you.
How about that?
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to throw in a little off the wallness there. That was funny. Follow me on TikTok.
Does TikTok have handles? How does TikTok?
I don't know. Search me, Gray Robertson.
Okay,
you'll find me. I've also, this is another tease, and then we'll end this episode, which we started to end about 10 minutes ago. I have already crafted. You have not seen them.
Okay.
Only Kaylee Tao has seen them. I've crafted the two celebratory 10th year together in the booth videos.
Oh my!
Two of them. They're waiting in the TikTok drafts.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have any actual video from like the first couple before the GoPro existed?
No, we have nothing.
It's like, I don't know.
The booth cam was kind of inspired by the GoPro.
Right. Yeah.
So really the first time we were ever visible was 2019 Supers.
Okay.
But you'll like it. You'll like it.
Okay. I'm excited. I'm very excited. Yes.
Anyway, where were we? That's it for number four.
All right, yes. Auburn.
Yeah.
Take that.
For Tom Canterbury, I'm the Auburn guy. Gray Robertson saying so long.
You were so upset after this game.
Yeah, I was just devastated eating my entire sliced pizza.
People are so passionate about things they're so wrong.
You know,
it's like, ugh.
A simple Google. Like, I am not exactly plastered all over the internet, but it's quite easy to figure out why my tie held orange, and it's on, somehow this has come up two episodes in a row, it's on my website, and also all over my gram.
Seven seasons or however many we've done this podcast, we've never mentioned your website, now twice in two.
I'm very proud to be a Woodbury graduate. I'm not going to apologize for going to a school that had orange. Orange exists as a color.
I substitute teach at a high school that's light blue. That doesn't mean I went to North Carolina.
Northridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out.
Go Jags.
Chapel Bill, baby.
All right. That's going
to
be fun.
Oh, man. They'll have played there. We need to end this episode. Next up. Next up is number three from a top five 2025 moments of the year. Again, for Tom, I'm Gray. We'll see you next time on the Out of Box podcast.
End the show.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.